Welcome to Inspiring Women with ADHD. I'm Renee Allen, the host of this podcast. Excited to be here today. Just checking all my things. Sound working? I think it is. So today I want to talk to you about two things, and I can't decide which one to do. I'm going to decide on the spot because I planned for two episodes. I think I'll go with the one that takes the least brain power. And that is talking about sensory issues with ADHD. And maybe this doesn't impact you, but maybe it does. I don't know that I thought long ago that I had sensory issues. I mean, I kind of knew it. It's kind of like a lot of symptoms with ADHD, and that like you notice things about yourself, but you think maybe everyone does this, or maybe it's not, like it didn't have a name for it. And I've always noticed that whatever pants I wear, I need the waistband to fit a certain way. And through the years, you know, all the fashions and stuff, sometimes you'd wear a belt and sometimes there'd be high rise, sometimes low rise, sometimes this or that. And you find, at least I did, that if there was a certain cut, where does that feel the best? And is that because of body image? Is that because, oh, I've gained weight, this doesn't feel the same? Maybe. I always noticed that when I would gain weight, that just because I bought a bigger size doesn't mean that it fit my body in the way that it gained weight. So if I'd say I probably gain weight hourglass wise, you know, like some people gain, like they'll still have a super flat stomach, but then they'll gain weight in their hips or their legs, or their legs will always be really thin or maybe muscly too, but you know, narrow legs, and they'll gain more weight in the middle or in the top or whatever. And I am like an equal opportunity weight gainer when I gain weight, but I do, my bra size, it does go up a lot with weight gain or down or a lot with weight gain. So I guess that's just kind of like everywhere, right? But I feel like the pants that I'd wear, and this is, you know, like jeans and things like that, that actually have some structure, they don't account for the way that my body is gaining weight. And so if it hits at my waist a certain way, then like my zipper would come undone because I'd gain weight in my lower stomach. And then I guess my waist wasn't as big to account. I don't know. But like I literally had to wear a safety pin on my zipper. I don't know if you ever learned that trick if you were pregnant, if you ever had a baby, but you could take, before they had maternity clothes that actually had big waistbands or stretchy things or something, that if your zipper was open wider because your stomach's getting bigger, or, you know, your, whatever you want to call it, that area of your body, then you could put a safety pin across the zipper where the zipper can come down, and it will stop the zipper coming down if it doesn't attach to the top. But I would have that whole, you know, XYZ, you know, examine your zipper. And I hated it. And it wasn't comfortable either. And there is one pair of pants, you know, there's always that one pair of pants that you love the most of all. And this is from my cousin's bags of clothes that they were going to give to the thrift store one time I was visiting them. And these are much younger cousins, but they were adults of this age or teenagers or whatever. And I went through their bags and there was a pair of jeans from Express. Do they still have that store? And I put on those jeans and they fit the best ever. Like they hit my waist so perfectly. And I wore them until they had holes in, you know, where they wear away and then you've got holes in the seams and everything. And I thought, these are the best ever. And then sometimes you go back in life later and you have those best ever jeans and you get back to that weight and you may even be in shape, but they don't feel the same. They don't fit the same. Or maybe you've changed. Who knows? You know, it's all just kind of a mystery. And so there are different parts of my sensory experience that I've noticed, like I'm not comfortable in these pants. I'm not comfortable. I don't know. Should I tuck my shirt in? I so overthink it, and it's a huge distraction. And so when I go places, even just the shoes that I wear, are they comfortable? Am I going to be able to, like, you think it through so much. Am I going to be able to be comfortable the whole time? It's not just like going to Disneyland or Disney World or something. It's actually just like going to a play. Am I going to have to walk from the parking lot to the theater and be comfortable in these shoes, but I want to look nice, but you know. And some people take those, it's not a fashion risk. What's it called when you prioritize fashion over comfort? And I'm the opposite. I prioritize comfort over fashion. You know, I'm wearing my leggings that I wore to my yoga class today, and hot yoga wasn't as sweaty today for some reason. But so I didn't have to change out of them, but I'm just wearing, you know, like a t-shirt. And I'm comfortable. I'd much rather do that than look really cute, you know, like fashion wise. And what is that? What is that? And so I looked into it. What is it with ADHD? Because if you're aware of autism and sensory processing issues, because autism is often called a sensory processing disorder. So let's go. And I don't know if that's an outdated term. I know I talked about outdated terms before, but I have a book on sensory processing disorders, and it does, it is going along with the autistic spectrum. I can't talk. Okay, that's not the one that I wanted. Let's go back over here. This is my next episode. I'm looking at the notes. I'm afraid to exit out of it. I won't find it. I'll find it. Okay, so going into clothing, it can be a lot of things. So you think of the senses. We have how things feel, touch. We have how things sound, how they come in visually, all those things, right? What kind of energy are we absorbing, and how is it affecting us? And why is it that some people aren't affected by it and they don't care, and other people are? I don't know if you've had a child who can put on any shoes, any clothes, and they just run and play and they're fine. And then you have a child who, it's like the princess and the pea, they have one seam of their sock that is not quite lined up, and they're like, I cannot walk, and they're falling on the ground. This is my oldest granddaughter. Or the shoes, they don't feel right on my feet. And you know what, I can kind of relate to that now when I do go to places like Disney World or something. Like, why is this such a distraction? And let me tell you first that there's a difference between, this is experts who have talked about this, There's differences in why or how sensory sensitivity affects someone with ADHD and how it affects somebody with autism. And if you have ADHD, you might have one or the other or both. ADHD is the combination of autism, or it's, you know, both, having both of those things. So with ADHD, what happens is it can be, one, a distraction. So it's something that speaks really loudly to you, and you feel this discomfort. You feel this, not pain, but you just feel something not feeling quite right on your clothing, and it makes it so you're not able to think about other things. Like, that takes priority in what you're thinking about. Can you focus? Is it getting in the way of focus? Is it getting in the way of being able to enjoy being somewhere? Is it getting in the way of being able to listen to somebody talk? And there's a reason behind it. It's not just a distraction. It's not just I have such a hard time focusing, and there's other things. So let me see why this happens. Okay. So when you have ADHD and you have a sensory processing issue, your brain isn't filtering what's happening quite right. So what might be uncomfortable for one person, and you're just like, yeah, my shoes are uncomfortable, but I'm going to keep walking. And then somebody else, your brain isn't able to monitor the level of which you feel that discomfort. And so it doesn't prioritize it the same. You might have a tag, and now thankfully they make a lot of shirts that are tagless, but that tag on your shirt that's scratching your neck or your back may have the same priority level as the conversation. You're not able to push it back. It's just up there screaming. It's like if you're trying to talk to a friend and a child comes in and they're both talking at the same level, you can't listen to both of them, and one's getting in the way of the other. It's like the child who comes in, and not saying anything bad about children, but they often do that. They come into a conversation and they say, mom, 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 you know, or they just start asking a question and you say, just wait a minute. And maybe your friend finishes the conversation, or, you know, whatever. You have to be able to prioritize and only listen to one at a time. And sometimes when it's happening at the same time, like you're on the phone and somebody comes in and says something to you, you can't process both at the same time. So you can't hear either one. And that's what's happening with this. One is just being very, very loud. And it could even be a bright light. It can be you're in someone's home. It happens to me far more often than I wish. You're in someone's home and even your own home, and you start to notice a light that's coming behind the person that you're looking at. And you want to be able to look at them while you're talking. And yet that light is just like, you know, in your eyes, and you're just, or the sun coming through the window or whatever it is. I used to go to someone's house a lot, and I loved her, but she would often say, here, sit on this couch. And it was really dark in her living room, and the light coming through from the kitchen was just like, the whole time my brain was just going, oh my gosh, I wish this was more comfortable. It was like sitting in a chair that was super uncomfortable, and it was hard to get comfortable. And I wonder if part of this, if you have the hyperactive, impulsive, I got to get out of here, like my energy's coming like a little higher, that kind of a nervous energy, if that's part of it too, if that compounds it, if that makes it more challenging for someone with ADHD, if they have that part too. But your nervous system isn't activating properly. It's not just going, oh, there's some light. It's not just going, oh, I feel that on my waistband, or I feel that bra strap pushing down. I hope I'm not giving you new things to think about. But I don't know how many of you that at some point, like your bra strap, it's too much. It's pushing down on your shoulders. And you're just like, I cannot wait to not have to wear this later in the day. And then maybe you're really picky about, you know, you only have one style of bra that works for you. And then when you have weight fluctuations, that can change too. You found one that works, and then all of a sudden it's not working. And it can be hard. It can be really hard. Oh my goodness. I found a sports bra. And, you know, you want a sports bra if it's going to be for working out and stuff, especially cardio. You want it to have enough pull between the strap and the band to keep you in, to keep you more still or whatever, I guess. I don't know, whatever the word is, while you're working out. So that's one thing. But then you also want it to be comfortable. And I've tried so many workout bras over the past 25, 30 years, I guess. And the best one that I had for cardio actually has a strap that loops through and has Velcro. So when it was time for high impact, you just make that strap shorter. And yeah, it's not super comfortable, but then you're not bouncing. That's the word I was looking for, is bouncing. You're not bouncing. And then that's more comfortable while you're running or doing high impact cardio or something. But then a weight workout, you can have more comfort there. You can make that not so much of a pull. And then maybe for yoga or something, it's a little, you know, less compression or whatever it is. But I have found that even though workout bras usually don't have the clasps in the back, that having one with clasps that's not like having to be so tight, and then also having shoulder things. This one's actually not one of these. This one's okay. It's in the medium range. But my very favorite kind to wear is one with a really wide strap and going straight up and down, because it's not pulling up to my neck. It's not doing all that extra stuff. And you find that magical bra. And this one I found in a thrift store. It was an old Lululemon bra that was only made in two colors. They probably only made it for like a season, and they never made it again. But I found it. I had to hunt, because it was already old by the time I bought it in the thrift store. And I had to find out the name of the bra so I could look for it on a used clothing website like Mercari or Poshmark or even eBay. And when I find it my size, I buy it. I probably have four of them in black and one in blue. I bought one for my daughter that was smaller, but they didn't make them for very long. It's just my go-to. It's the most comfortable. But what's comfortable for me might be different for you, or maybe you don't even care about how a bra feels, but I would imagine you do, because most of us do. So what is happening in the body is our brain isn't processing the discomfort very well. It's amplifying it, and it comes in with a similar or more intensity than whatever else is coming in. And so it just goes up, and it's just like it's shouting at you. It's like the volume has turned up so much where somebody else might be going, yeah, this isn't that comfortable to have these shoes on, but it's okay. I'm only here for a little while. I'm wearing it because it's a dressy occasion and I'm okay. And they're fine. And yay for them. That would be great. And there's times in my life that I have been like that about different things. I feel like some things intensify. As we get older, we have hormone fluctuations. But yeah, it's not you not being able to focus. It's about the amplification of what's happening. It's louder for you than it is for someone else. And so for someone else, it might be like not so comfortable, but yeah, I can manage it. And then for you, it might be an overload, sensory overload. And it could even just be what kind of chair you sit in or visually where that chair is in the room. Have you ever experienced this? And honestly, when I explain some of these things, I'm sure there are some people who experience it more intensely than I do, but it starts to make you feel like you're extra picky, like you're the crazy person admitting to this stuff. But here I go. I love to sit in a booth in a restaurant. The idea of a booth, the higher back, the comfort of the width of the chair. You can put your foot up. I have my knees up high right now. You can sit like that easier in a booth. Have one foot under the other thigh. I like to bend my knees a lot. This is common for women with ADHD, for children with ADHD, to continue to change how you're seated and have that comfort. You might get locked in if you have to go to the bathroom or something. But, you know, you have to have somebody stand up if it's a circular booth or if you're at the end. But that is something that's nice. I don't like the little tables with just the chairs or the whole restaurant where it's just little tables with little chairs. I will do it, but it's not my favorite. And one time I went in to meet a friend for breakfast, and the whole restaurant pretty much was open. Maybe one other person was in there, one other group or setting or whatever. And she sat me in the middle at a little table that had two chairs. And I thought, I would like more table space. It wasn't just the table and the space. Maybe there are even four chairs, but there's something more comfortable about having more space on the table. And I get that. And I was just waiting for one friend. I get that, you know, you want to be, especially at a busy restaurant, be able to have those bigger tables available for other people. But like, there was hardly anybody who came in the whole time I was there. And so she came to bring me water. And I said, is it possible for me to sit on the edge? Because it wasn't just being on a small table. It was being exposed. It was like I was in the middle. And I was aware of that. I had a heightened sensitivity to that where I couldn't sit and relax. And she put me over in a booth. And even if it hadn't been a booth, if it had been a table at the side, there's something that feels better about the side. And a lot of people have these preferences. When I teach yoga, there are people who like to be in the back or the side and not in the middle. They don't have as many people around them, or they can have their belongings closer to them at the wall. They can use the wall for different poses. And we all sense certain things, right? We sense temperature. We sense sometimes location. We sense ceiling height. Having the ceiling higher might feel really open, but having a lower ceiling might feel cozy for a gathering. And it's certainly not as loud. We have a really high ceiling in our living room right now. It can be really, really loud. But so these different things can make us antsy. It can make us uncomfortable. It can make it harder to be comfortable. And I when I go to someone's house or they come to my house for dinner, I don't like to sit at the table for that long. Like when we finish eating, I'd much rather go in and sit on a couch. And when I'm at someone else's house, I can't direct that. I can't just say, hey, can we go in here? Because I'm not the host. But I certainly feel it. And at some point, I think I want to get up. And maybe I get up and help do the dishes or clear the table. And that gives me that ability to do that. But it's not as comfortable. Speaking of comfortable, I figured out how to pause and get a drink of water. You need to be comfortable. So yeah, those things can talk really loudly and get in the way of our brains working or us being comfortable. But also with clothing sensitivity is you could just feel like restricted or something. Like I can't, well, that could be the bra thing. Like, you know, I'm so restricted. I need to just have something a little more free on. But, or like the whole Goldilocks thing, is the chair that you're sitting in too hard, too soft, not high enough, or the couch is so soft that your back hurts or whatever. I love to sit on the floor. It's not appropriate everywhere, but I love to sit on the floor. Like if I go to a baby shower or something like that, and everyone's like climbing into, you know, not climbing, but maybe more me, but they're going to sit on a couch or sit on a chair or whatever. And people place themselves, you know, in a situation where they want to, they can be most comfortable or whatever is appropriate with the host or whoever they can sit by to talk to or whatever. But I'm so happy to sit on the floor. And often people will say, here, come sit here. You can have a chair. And I'm good with the floor. It just feels better. You have more possibilities of how to sit and just feels better in my hips and my back and everything. But you may have that too. You might be sensitive to your placement, how you sit and all that. You might even notice like there's not enough windows. It's dark in here. I don't know if it's claustrophobic, but like I feel like I'm in a cave. I don't know if you start to feel that way. I'm even like that when I teach yoga. I have to, whatever the setup is in the room, I get a sense of if that feels good as a teacher. And if I need to have everybody turn or something, I'll change it. And I like people to be able to look out the windows if they can, or not have it be so like narrow and long or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So what happens is we can have an emotional response to discomfort, to these things, these messages that can come out. And it can be a restlessness. It can be wanting to escape if it does feel too dark and gloomy. Or I feel this way when I'm in line at an amusement park. Like if you're outside and you're in line, it's not as bad unless the sun's beating down on you. But when you go into, like, let's say you're at Disney or something, and you go and you go into a room with all those little fences or whatever they're called, you know, that they make with the little rope, and you go around and around, and I find things to keep me happy, not that it's all about me, or to, you know, to be with the people around me, talk to them. I find it interesting to look at other people, all those things that you can find that can be fun. But at some point, if it feels like I need to get out of here, like it starts to feel like you're like it's just not enough of variety, because you can get through that one spot. And this does have to do with the hyperactive component of ADHD, where you just need to be able to move. You need to not only be able to move, but you need to be able to get the sense of you can move. Because when you have that anxious antsiness and you're told you're going to get an MRI, you're in here for 10 minutes or whatever it is, 20 minutes, don't move. And so you start to set a goal. Okay, I'm going to be in here for 20 minutes. I don't know if that's what it is. I've had a couple of MRIs, and the first one was full body, so they could do my head. But they messed up, and they had to repeat it. So I didn't get to come out in the in-between. It was like, it seems like it went from 20 minutes to 40 minutes. And if you're a tech who does MRIs and you're like, Renee, they never do them that long, then maybe I'm wrong. But I think that's what it was. It was a while ago. I'm not that great with numbers, but I think that's what it was. But in my mind, I braced myself for the first thing. And so I feel like that can happen when you're in line or if you're in traffic, that you can brace yourself for this might be a 20-minute slowdown. And then it turns into a 40-minute, an hour, or whatever. And you think, wait a minute, I adjusted to the fact that it can be that, but now it's not that. And it's not like we go around being selfish or impatient. We're having these responses in our brains, and we're having these responses in our bodies, and we're trying to manage them. And sometimes you do have a choice. I can just leave the line, or I can just get off on this exit, and I can just go to a store or take a country road. I've done that a lot, where I'll take a country road or another path that at least it's moving, and I feel like I'm going somewhere, even though it might take longer. So you do have choices sometimes, and then sometimes, you know, you don't. Like if you have chosen an outfit and you don't have a choice to change clothes, then that's a problem. It can be a problem. So how can this impact our daily lives? We can have a hard time getting work done, focusing, listening to people, It might cause us to avoid certain things. If you don't like going into a drive-through to get a prescription because you'll get stuck, and then maybe you don't go to the drive-through, maybe you keep delaying picking up your medicine because you're like, well, it's not a good time of day. You know, like, you know that you have a hard time dealing with that situation. And even though that might not be like a technically like a clothing situation or a visual, I think the visual is like what we see in our minds. It's like, okay, here's a car in front of me, there's a car behind me, now I really can't get out, you know. It's, if you were just sitting that long without the car behind you, would you be okay? Maybe because you know you could leave, you know. So it can affect your day-to-day choices. You can get tired of constantly overthinking it and trying to decide, what do I wear? What do I do this? What do I do that? It can be tiresome. And you could also end up like not having any fashion sense because you're always wearing the comfortable things. Although I know there are, I mean, for younger people, I think there are a lot of clothing lines and things that, you know, like little kids, t-shirt and shorts looks a lot better than t-shirt and shorts with me. You know, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm supposed to be more grown up than that, and then just wear t-shirts and plain colors all the time. But that's what I do. The plain colors, I guess, doesn't have to do with comfort, but maybe visually I like the plain colors. Who knows? And then sometimes you just feel off. You know, it's like, what's wrong? How are you doing? I don't know. Although, okay, so back to the clothing thing. I don't know if I ever mentioned this before, but my first full-time job, my boss was kind of like a mom figure to me. And she was a very dressed up person. You know, she was the manager of the office. I worked for a radiology medical group, and we were at the business office down in LA. I say down in LA, and I'm in Florida now. It's actually farther away from the equator than I am right now. But anyway, she told me on the days that I didn't dress up as much, and I have had phases of my life where I would wear the heels and the skirts and the more tailored things and everything. But she told me that the way that I dressed was a representation about how I felt. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes you wake up and you're like, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. And don't feel that great. And then you choose something that's maybe uglier. And it might sound like a weird thing, but been there, done that. I actually have. I actually have done that. And then other times, like, you know. So, yeah, it can be like that vicious circle of, I'm feeling worse because of what I'm wearing, but I'm wearing what I am because I'm feeling worse. But talking about this, it sounds like we're super distracted when we have these things, these sensory issues. And yes, we are, but it's because of a dysregulation in the brain. It's like our brains aren't regulating the response or the emotion. That it's not just an emotion. Like, an emotion, at least to me, is more like a happy, sad, it's whatever. It's a response of, you know, this discomfort. It's not regulating it very well. It's not, it's taking it, like, and you can see it more with children, of one child like, oh, my shoe's uncomfortable, catch up, we're hiking. Where another one's like, my shoe's uncomfortable, and they're falling down. And it's not just that they're throwing a fit, like, it is just too much. It's like, how could I take another step? My shoe isn't on right or whatever, where the other one's just like, okay, I'll deal with it. And they run with their shoe hop on. So what can you do? What can you do? Well, sometimes you can make a difference. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can choose clothing that's more comfortable, or you can wash the clothes more so that they're softer, or use fabric softener. Or now there really are a lot of options with clothing that fits better. And the cut of the clothing to me is everything. Like, there are some brands, because I wear a lot of yoga pants, if the people call them yoga pants, but, you know, leggings or whatever. And it's amazing to me that a different brand that looks the same in the picture, it's cut a little bit different. It does not feel right on my body. It hits it differently, and it just is, you know. So or even wearing a polyester spandex mix instead of a nylon spandex mix. It makes a big difference. Why? I don't know, but it does. So you find those things. And if you can't afford the brands that you want to, that you like the most, one little trick that I've done with Lululemon a lot, well, a lot of things. There are discounts with some of these companies. Like if you are a fitness teacher, yoga teacher, you can apply to get a 25% off discount. That's fabulous to find out. Another thing is you can find the size and the style that works for you, and then find it used and buy it used and ask questions if they, you know, hung dry and washed on cold to make sure it's in good shape. But yeah, I don't know how to deal with the light stuff really, because you're not always in control of that. But when you can't be, you know, make changes. I was recently at someone's house and there was a lamp on, and I kept looking at her and I just thought, I want to enjoy being here. I want to enjoy this conversation. And so I was even kind of even trying to, you know, it's not like if you were outside, it might be more natural to put your hand up over your eyes but I was trying to kind of turn with my head or even put my arm up a little bit to just not have that light beaming in my eyes like crazy. And I think I would have stayed longer and visited longer if that hadn't been an issue. But I didn't have the courage to just say, would you mind turning off that light while we're here? It's bright in my eyes. Because it really sounds picky, huh? And it sounds like, hey, this isn't even your house. This is your first time here. But I couldn't really turn and visit another way because I came in facing the window in that light. I don't know. When you can make a change. For me, the change had to be leaving when I left. And sometimes you bring things to make yourself more comfortable. I just went to church last Sunday in a meeting that where we had really hard chairs to sit on because there were so many people there. It wasn't like everybody got a comfortable seat. And the first time I went to a meeting like that, I went in and I just thought, I'm going to go crazy because I'm sitting on this hard chair. And I knew I had yoga blankets in the car, and they're wool blankets. They're back to right above me, but they're really comfortable. And I told my husband, I'm going to go out to the car and get some yoga blankets. And as I was walking out, I saw a woman I know, and they had those cushions like that you put on your chairs in the kitchen, and they were all sitting on them, which I thought was great. And I said, oh, you guys are smart. I feel the same way. I'm going out to get a yoga blanket. And she said, we have an extra one. And so she gave it to me. So I went to TJ Maxx after that, bought two cushions, and I bring them with me each time we go to a meeting like that because I'm loud and proud about that. I'm like, I'm not embarrassed to bring the cushion or a blanket or something to make me more comfortable. And same with temperature. Air conditioning and I do not get along. Like, I like it to some degree, but it's usually so cold. So I went to the dentist yesterday, made sure I had socks on, made sure I had a jacket, even though it was 80 degrees outside. And it was ice cold when I got into the dentist office because I don't want to lay in that chair and freeze. So all those things, I guess temperature is another sensory thing. But yeah, but support. Do you have something you can put your feet up on? It's another thing. Sometimes our knees need to be up as high as our hips to be more comfortable in the back. Oh, yeah. And standing up, going to the bathroom when you don't really have to go to the bathroom, you know, just giving yourself a little break. Because we can't actually push these signals of discomfort and our response away. We can't always do it. We can try. We can power through some things, but we can't power through everything. And so recognizing the reason for it is helpful. And recognizing that sometimes a change is just what's needed. But I want to go, I want to go, and before I finish up here, I want to talk about how it's different with the sensory sensitivity with autism, because I found it fascinating, I thought. Because some people think, well, if you have, if you're sensitive to your clothing and you have ADHD, you may have autism. You might, but you may not. You might not have any of the symptoms with autism, but you might have this similar response. Yeah, I am sensitive to my clothing too. So why is that? And learning more about it was pretty fascinating to me. So with ADHD, we're having a difficulty filtering the input and prioritizing the input. And it competes for everything. It's like that loud, the volume's turned up on it, and it's getting in the way of us being able to pay attention, not only pay attention, but just enjoy the experience. Even just with where you sit in a movie theater, I probably mentioned this before, or in a play, when somebody's head's a little bit in front, anywhere I am, I need to be able to, like if someone's giving a speech, a talk or something, I need to be able to see them or not see them. I can't just partially see them or have somebody in front partially blocking. And it's not like I need to be like the Queen of Sheba. What did they say? I don't know what the Queen of Sheba is, but on Bedknobs and Broomsticks, they say something like, who do you think you are, the Queen of Sheba, when they're at some fair? So anyway, it's not like that, but it's just a matter of I can't even tell what's going on in the play anymore or the movie because this is getting in the way so much. And at the movie theater now, a lot of times with those seats that recline back and stuff, they have you so much higher than the row in front of you that a tall person with a hat or something, they're not going to get in the way. But before, like if anybody's head was blocking part of the screen at the movie theater, I was like, oh, I can't pay attention. I can't, like, it's so dumb. But that's how I would get. So my brain couldn't do it. Like, it's not just being able to pay attention. It's just being able to relax. Something's bringing me into an intensity level. And, you know, my daughter would say to me after the fourth time we moved at a show at Disney World, it's okay, Mom, just stay here. And then somebody else comes and their mouse ears or whatever, or their 6'5" husband sitting right in front of me. I'm like, it's not going to be all right. I know it's not going to be all right, but I'll stay here because I know I'm driving you crazy. And then my husband's used to it, but I'll say, you want to treat me places? He wasn't there that time, but he'll treat me places so that I can sit where it works for me. But anyway, okay. So yeah, it causes a lot of overwhelm, stress, your brain. Yeah, you can't ignore it. Autism, different. So instead of the brain having a difficulty filtering it and prioritizing it and turning the volume down on one and turning it on, it's actually more intense. It's amplified and it's even distorted. So sounds can be distorted. A sound that we might hear that doesn't bother us might just be literally painful for that person to listen to, and actually to the point of them covering their ears. And have you seen a child like that? It's just too much. Or they hear other things, like, and it's the sounds coming through differently. It can be the air conditioner is 10 times as loud for them. It's more intense, it's amplified, it's distorted. And it's not just a problem with filtering, it feels different in their bodies. And it can feel painful. It can feel like clothing, like a tag, or even on the wrist, if it's scratchy, like a shirt that gets buttoned up here for a girl or a boy, but sometimes boys wear that, you know, like with a tie or something, and it feels sharp. It might feel burning. It might feel like it's digging into the skin. It might feel prickly when it's not for somebody else. And it's a real sensory experience that they're having in their body. And it can be like actually painful, or, they can have a meltdown. Like, why are you making me wear something that's painful? If you're curious about more, why it feels like pain. In autism, their nervous system can be hyper responsive to tactile input, like touch. And so signals in the skin can be amplified, and it can be irritating, overwhelming, even painful. And it's different than the discomfort we might have that gets in the way. It's distracting. It's getting in the way of being able to relax, but it's actually hurtful or just too much. All that being said, you may still have some sound sensitivity where it's too much in your brain's, you know, you might hit that point, maybe not painful, but yeah, maybe painful. I don't know. Because I haven't experienced the other. I don't know what I'm comparing it to. But we had a year ago, one of my daughters got a guitar amp for her birthday. My boys like to play electric guitar, and I tried to avoid that. It's not that I hate electric guitars, but I didn't know if I'd like having loud guitars in the house. So when my oldest son, he's now married with kids and stuff, when he asked for an electric guitar for Christmas one year, I thought, I'll get him an acoustic guitar. He never played a stringed instrument, but he liked to play instruments. He kind of taught himself how to play the piano. I had to piano lessons for my girls, but not for my boys. Well, eventually I did with my boys, but like starting young, I was not consistent in my parenting, but is anybody, especially if you have six kids? So anyway, and I'm not going to feel guilty about that. Maybe I have at some point, but I'm going to try not to. But anyway, back to I figured I'll just get him an acoustic guitar, and I'm not getting him a loud guitar. Well, in my mind, I thought he's going to say, Mom, like, but I want an electric guitar. Like, that sounded like a near miss. So I decided to get him a ukulele, and it was cheaper too. Get him a ukulele. He can learn how to play a stringed instrument, and it's two steps away from the electric guitar. Well, he's not diagnosed with ADHD, but he has that hyper-focused, but hyper-driven way about anything that he learns, he takes it full force and learns everything about it and becomes really good at it. And I have a couple of boys like that. And one of them is diagnosed with ADHD, but the older one hasn't looked into that and doesn't think he has it. But anyway, so he learned to play the ukulele. He learned to play the guitar. He learned to play the electric guitar, the bass, the mandolin, the banjo, any guitar placed in his hands, he learned to play it. We went to Greece once, one of my two trips overseas, and came back with a bouzouki, which is kind of have a roundness at the back of the guitar. We brought that from a guitar shop. I don't know if it was called a guitar shop in Athens, but one of our bigger expenses on the trip. And he learned to play that too. I think it has five strings. What's my point? Oh, I've never liked. I was right about not liking to hear an electric guitar in the house, because I don't mind hearing it. Like when my youngest son learned to play Freebird, yeah, I loved hearing that. Like I loved hearing that music. But it would his level of volume for it is way louder than mine. And so it's always turn it down, you know. And then there was he's a perfectionist because he learns and, you know, plays really well actually. But then he'd say, when he'd write a song, he'd say, Mom, which engine do you like better? And he'd have me, which is funny now. I should talk to him about it because we didn't know either one of us had ADHD then, but there's so many similarities that we have. But he would play it and then he'd say, which one do you like better? Like one, two, or three, or just one and two. Could my brain remember what one sounded like by the time he got to two? Not always. So I'm like, I don't know. You know, just, well, Mom, wait. And then he'd do it again. And yeah, so anyway, electric guitar, there's always been this, please turn it down. You know, can you turn it down? And they turn it down, but it's still really loud. And now our house has really high ceilings, wooden floors, and it's extra loud. And so you can't just shut the door most of the time and have it make a difference. So a year ago, about a little over a year ago in April, my daughter gets an amp for her birthday. And she comes over and plays guitar with one of my sons and stuff. And so at the end of opening presents, that was like the grand finale gift that my son gave her. I was going to say my brother, my son. And so they started playing it. And it was so loud. It was like knives were going in my ears. And it didn't hurt like I think you're destroying my eardrums. Like it wasn't like that. But it was too much. And so I said, can you turn it down? It was so loud that they couldn't really hear me say, can you turn it down? And I asked a few times and literally felt like I was maxing out. Like I can't even, it's so much stimulation. I can't even be in here anymore. I can't rationally go ask or say, go, you know, I couldn't function anymore. I couldn't have a next step of how to get that lower. And so I got up and went in the other room and shut the door, and it was still loud. So I put on my noise-canceling earbuds, and this is right before cake and ice cream. And I wasn't throwing a fit. I was just trying to get away from the noise, and And eventually they're like, where's mom? Where's mom? But I know what that can be like with sound to a certain degree. And I don't know what it's like for women, children, men, anyone with autism. And I bet it's taken that and just going more levels. For me, it's more like my brain can't work anymore. My brain can't work. Please stop, please stop, please stop. And that can happen with the sound coming in or the discomfort at a party or whatever. I'm just like, I want to enjoy being here. And yet I can't because I wore something that doesn't feel good. And where does that make sound? And then I go for the option of wearing something more comfortable. And I see somebody else wearing something cute. And I think, I should have gone for cute. Like, they look so cute. Oh, my goodness. The little things in life. I mean, these aren't the big things in life, right? But they can be big to us, and they can get in the way of a lot of things. So that's what I want to talk about, because this has more of an emotional response for me to talk about than the other. So that's the difference of, just to repeat, because I need repetition, is the autism is the input actually feels stronger in the body. And for us, it comes in the same. It just draws more attention. We can't get it. It's not causing the pain or the unbearable. I mean, it's unbearable, but it's not hurting. It's more hindering. Does that make sense? I don't know. That's how I make sense of it. Let me see what else. So with ADHD, it can be discomfort. We can get irritable from it, or we can just actually just not feel pleasant anymore. We can tolerate it to a certain degree, and the hell you can't. Another thing for me is music. Is like, I do love music, and I love music when it's loud, but I can't do that and have a conversation at the same time. I mean, if I'm at a loud concert or in a movie or something, like I can turn, you know, like say something, and at concerts, it's ridiculous. You know, you're trying to say, you know, you're trying to shout and you can't hear yourself and they can't hear yourself. But as far as a conversation goes, I can't follow it. So then it starts to like drive me crazy. And that can happen with sound things. The autism, more immediate, more intense. It doesn't build up. It's like, it creates pain and it creates panic. And sometimes, you know, the panic could be the anxiety, all that. This is interesting too, I think anyway, is that our response, like with ADHD, we might find a way to remove the distraction. We might be distracted. We might feel like I can't think as well. I need some fresh air. Like, so we might change where we are and we can bring it down. It might cause us to get antsy or something, but with autism, they may just leave. They might just leave the thing. They might shut down or melt down. I haven't seen that in adults with ADHD, but I've seen it with children. And then just need, like, control. Like, can't we stop this? Can't we stop this? I've seen that with my friend's son, too, of just trying to, you know, like, outwardly say it, where I might outwardly say it in a calm way, you know, instead of like if you think of, you're getting burned on a stove, you're like, ow, or something. And then, but if you were in the calm way, it'd be like, oh, I think I just burned my hand, you know, which sometimes we do have that more outward, and that's more common to have that outward response for someone with autism. But I think I'm gonna stop going down that road. But just to finish up here, I enjoy being with you. Thanks for listening to my podcast or watching, because I love exploring this. And I know so many of us want to learn more about ADHD and how it can affect us. And sometimes we learn about the common symptoms, what might be happening. And then there's all these other areas of life that we're like, oh, that can be part of it too. And just like I've explored OCD and OCPD and the obsessive compulsive part of ADHD that can tack along with it, but yet it has a different reason for wanting to be obsessive or being obsessive. and it has a different response in the body. It's kind of fascinating because we tend to think, oh, if I'm this way, then I must have that disorder too, or I must be the same as that person. And you're experiencing something much different than they are, or for a different reason. So go back and listen to that episode. I think I made 2 episodes about that, the OCD and the OCPD, maybe 3 episodes. I'll keep doing it until I totally understand it or I stop learning more about it. But I like to learn with you, if that's possible, if that's okay with you. So let me go up to helping with this. I don't know. Here am I, I feel like, okay. So one of the pieces of advice that they give us is to build a sensory-friendly environment. And in some ways, we can do that. We can do that in our homes, unless, you know, our son buys an electric guitar that we didn't know about. You know, but you try to manage it in your own life and for other places that you go to. You know, you can choose where you go to eat. You can choose if you go to a concert or somewhere with a big group of people. Some people don't like all the loud cheering and, you know, the bursts of output. Other people are just super love it. You know, there's different reasons people would choose to be somewhere with a sensory, the stimulation that comes in, or a movie theater, it might be too loud, so they bring earplugs. And there are things that you can do like that. But I feel like it adds to our responsibilities too. If you have these things and you're going to go somewhere, and so you're planning all the little things that you need. Like if I go somewhere with air conditioning, which is highly likely, and it might sound weird to you for those of you who have always lived where there's air conditioning, but in California, Northern California, for the most part, we don't have air conditioning. Like maybe some businesses do or something, but we don't have it. So we don't get so cold when not everybody gets cold with air conditioning, but I sure do. But yeah, to have to bring a jacket everywhere I go, or a sweater to church when it's 95 degrees outside or something because it's so cold inside. So you're having to add to your responsibility of what you need to do before you leave to go anywhere because you want to be comfortable, or remembering the earplugs or any of that. Sunglasses. I've worn sunglasses inside a restaurant before when it does have that thing where the light's coming in. I'll put on sunglasses in the restaurant. I don't feel weird about that. I would feel weird about that at my friend's house. Maybe I need to get over that and just explain. My eyes are sensitive. I hope you don't mind I'm wearing sunglasses in your house. I should have thought of that, actually. I should have thought of that a week or two ago. But yeah, trying to anticipate the sensory issues you might have and doing something about it where you can, and not making yourself push through. You know, when you find that you can't control it, like I did that time with the amp and electric guitar, I just had to leave. So you don't have to push through, especially when you find yourself going crazy. And I guess just noticing too, if you're starting to feel discomfort in a situation, like, why am I not feeling quite right now? Notice it might be something that you're not even aware of. Like for me, I move around a lot while I do my podcast, and I'm glad that I can. I'm glad that it's not like you would care. Most of you aren't watching anyway, but I am too hyper aware of it with Zoom calls, and I have a hard time with them because I have a hard time sitting still. But give yourself permission to experience these things because you are going to experience them, and they might even change and get more intense as you get older, or you have hormonal changes, or your body changes because the clothing, unless it's super stretchy, it doesn't always work for how your body changes. I've always also felt constriction around my rib cage. And I don't like shirts that button because, you know, even if it has a little bit of stretch with it, it's like it's, you know, it's coming in. Like really roomy. Anyway. Okay. Thank you for being here. And I hope this helps you find ways to be comfortable and not just make you think about what makes you uncomfortable. But it's good to know what it is, like know what's maybe making you grouchier with your kids or with your spouse or something that's getting in the way of your ability to feel balanced and normal and or even get work done. You know, that's something I love to get work done. And if I'm not comfortable at my desk or I don't even have a desk anymore because I wasn't comfortable at it, which I gave it to my son. But don't feel like you have to do it a certain way if it's not working for you. And I guess that's it for now. So thank you for being here. Happy. I'd say Tuesday, but I'll probably send this out on Wednesday. So happy Wednesday to you. And do all the things. Like, subscribe, share my podcast with somebody else. And I'll be back. Let me know if you have any topics you want me to look into, cover. I'm still working on getting some guests on here that we can work through some common ADHD symptoms and strategize and learn more together. But I can only do so much. I got my taxes done last night. Yay. Not my favorite thing. How does it happen? I like to come around so often, but got that done and feel a little freer to set up the podcast guests, and it should be fun. So that's it. I will talk to you later. Bye.
Help other women find the show. Rate, review, share with someone you know. Help other women find my show. Rate, review, share with someone you know. Hurry before you forget.
Frozen dreams are left for tomorrow. Without a cause. No time for a pause. Silence of sound has yet been found, but not by me.